Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world of the paranormal.
Hello, my friends. I am Jason Ophir with NW Paranormal, here with
Pat Rice. How are you,
welcome
Jason?
I'm doing good and want to welcome everybody to another edition of Paranormal Horizons. It's been kind of a long day for me. I've got a big assignment due for my college writing class, ugh, so I've been working at that quite a bit. Yeah.
Wow, Jason. Is it good to be in college?
It's different. I'm 40 years old and I'm surrounded by people that are far younger and clearly don't have nearly any of the motivation that I have. I'm surprised. I've seen people that have come to class high on drugs. I see them with their head on their desk and I'm like, wow, really? this is what society has turned into. People just don't care. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, that's a different generation. I guess I shouldn't say it like that, Jason. I mean, I think, you know, every generation has people that don't care, but, you know, going to college is supposed to be a great opportunity. So I guess it's sad to see some not taking it seriously.
I think college is just an overrated institution. I truly believe that, you know, work experience is far superior to sitting in a class trying to learn something. I don't know. I think it's just become such a money-making machine. And I think working somewhere to learn, such as maybe like trades and stuff like that, is a lot more valuable than, you know, trying to catch up on my math. Because really, have I ever in the last 20 years used algebra? I mean, all I need to know how to do is add, subtract, and divide. That's it.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. So, but you know what? We are not here to talk about college. This is Paranormal Horizons. Here on blogtalkradio.com with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir, and we are here to talk about paranormal stuff. And
yes,
Jason, I know we don't really have any special guests lined up for this evening, but there's always so much to talk about in the paranormal world, and you and I always enjoy chatting about that. And we wanted to mention to any of the listeners out there, if you want to call in and you have a story or any comments on what we might be discussing this evening, please feel free to do that. The number is 215-383-3999. I'll repeat that, 215-383-3999, because we're just going to be talking about some some random things here this evening.
Yes, very random. I did find some news stories that we're going to talk about. And I also wanted to mention real quick for people that are listening, because we do get a lot of people that listen to the archive show, is to check us out on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and also NW Paranormal on Facebook as well. We got a nice big little group on there. And, yeah, just check those out. We always love support. I get lonely sometimes in the paranormal world, so I always like to see new likes and new faces and people sharing their experiences on Facebook.
Absolutely, Jason. And, you know, before we start talking about some of the things that are going on in the world with the paranormal, I did want to mention that it's been a couple of weeks, but we did a live investigation, and that was here in Oregon, in Troutdale, at the Edgefield Hotel, which is one of the McMenamins properties. And we're going to be doing a recap of that with the investigators, and you were one of them, Jason, but I know we wanted to wait until some of the evidence had actually been reviewed, and we will be talking about that in a future show. But that was really interesting for me, Jason, because I had never done a live investigation. I've talked to many, many investigators and psychics and folks that have been involved, but I've never really been involved, and I didn't stay for the whole night, unfortunately. But it was just interesting the way that it was all set up and the way you guys were preparing for it. And, of course, this was supposed to be, well, it is known to be a haunted location, I should say.
Yeah, pretty reputed haunted location. It seems like, you know, the hotel is really haunted. You know, we were looking into room 215, which is one of the most haunted rooms. But there's a lot of locations there at Edgefield. It's a huge complex. I mean, they have a winery, restaurants, movie theaters, hotel, and I don't remember exactly how many acres it is, but it's a rather large facility. And anybody out here in Troutdale, Oregon, should check it out if you haven't, because it's really creepy, particularly in the hotel. If you had seen some of the pictures that I posted, the halls on the hotel hallways are littered with these really strange paintings. Didn't you find those paintings a little strange?
Yeah, I did, because they're obviously people who had some sort of relationship with the Edgefield that, you know, from its past. And so as we were, you know, walking through the hallways, you know, and every door had these pictures, and there were their pictures in the hallways. Yeah, I mean, there was different eras, so to speak, and, you know, different characters. And I was looking at them, Jason, going, gosh, I mean, are we going to, you know, get some sort of feeling that we're, you know, hearing from this person here? It's kind of eerie. And I have to say, I've been in a couple of other McMenamins locations, and they do, you know, the same thing where they use an old building and they convert it into a hotel, bar, restaurant, you know, however big the building is. And they all have so much past history that you're just kind of waiting for a ghost to come and sit down and have a drink with you or something, you know.
Sorry,
yeah.
you opened that up for a sound effect.
Yeah, and then, but like I said, you know, we're going to be doing another recap, you know, after the rest of the team has had a chance to review the material. But I didn't particularly get any strange things happening to me or anything, but like you were describing the pictures, and it's definitely a place that I felt there was lots of other people hanging around other than humans. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've mentioned before that I'm pretty sensitive to the kind of ghostly vibes, but I didn't really feel much. But, you know, when we do the recap and we talk to Aaron, he was brave enough to stay in room 215 overnight. And I don't think that much happened, but we'll touch on it again when we review all the evidence, because sometimes I've been on investigations before where, you know, you're like, oh, nothing's happened, but then you review the video and you're like, oh, my God, what's that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, and Aaron, like you said, the room 215 is the most haunted room at the Edgefield, and that's because things have happened. And we have kind of an interesting show, if anybody wants to go back and listen, because we did for an hour, we did a live Paranormal Horizons radio show, and that was on the 4th, February 4th. So if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, we had one of the employees that had worked there for about 3 years at the Edgefield, and he was one of the hospitality captains, and he had some really interesting stories, and I thought he was a great person, Jason, because he was really, I thought he was very objective. You know, he wasn't like a paranormal guy.
Like you're saying, yeah, he wasn't, you could tell he wasn't one of these super paranormal believers. I mean, he was just kind of telling it as it is.
Right. And he had some interesting stories that had happened to guests and some of his other fellow employees. So he was great. And so if you get a chance, everybody out there listening to that show, and then we'll have more on the Edgefield Hotel from Troutfield, Oregon in the future. And yeah, so Jason, what's going on? What have you seen in the news for paranormal?
Well, I've come across a couple interesting stories, and I should also mention that we do have a caller in queue, and the number is interesting. The number is coming across as Facebook. So instead of a number, it just says Facebook. So I don't know if maybe Facebook is calling, or I think somebody might be spoofing their number. I don't know why it says that.
Well, it could be me trying, because I was experimenting with Skype.
Oh, are you on Skype too?
Well, it asked me if I wanted to log in as with my Facebook account, and I said yes. So I wonder, but then it didn't show me that it did anything. So it must be
weird.
Me.
I wonder. So we have you twice. I mean, that's kind of like Sybil, you know, that movie with the multiple personalities. We have this multiple personality thing going on in Q right now.
Yeah, and now I'm actually...
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time.
This is kind of an experiment here, you guys.
But it shouldn't be you, because you haven't connected yet. I mean, I can hear... Okay, no, it's not you, because you just popped up.
Well, because right now I just logged in on Skype. It finally works, so I'm going to hang up from the phone, Jason.
Okay. Wow, this is trippy, folks. So there's a mystery, because Pat, we were thinking that it was her on calling in because it says Facebook, but it's not because her name pops up. So we have a mystery caller in there, which we're going to have to check out. But let me put Pat back through. Hey, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll turn it up. Is that better?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. And hey, everybody, thanks for bearing with us, because we had never connected this way via Skype to Skype, because Jason's using Skype and I am. So thanks for working with us, but I hope that everyone can hear us okay, because it's kind of easier to use Skype. So good, Jason, we're connected in that way, so we know that finally works.
Yeah. So I got a couple stories here, and then that mystery Facebook caller is still in queue, but I'm going to go over these stories real quick, and then then we'll see who it is, because it's not you, and my curiosity is peaking, and I'm hoping that it's somebody that has a good paranormal story to share. So
yeah,
one of the
interesting really wants to talk to us.
Yeah, it'd be nice, so they don't have to hear our voices all the time. But so some of the news that's out there right now in the paranormal world is NASA was streaming video from the International Space Station on January 29th. And what people noticed before the video was cut off mysteriously was a strange craft was docked to the International Space Station between the Soyuz and Russian service module. If you look online, if you just Google UFO docked to space station, you'll see this strange teardrop-shaped craft, and it's weird. It doesn't look like it belongs there. The color's off, and it looks just really strange. So I don't know if it's a UFO or maybe some experimental aircraft, but you should check it out. You know, our government's always doing weird things they don't tell us about, so maybe it's a new generation of craft. But it, like I said, it definitely looks like it doesn't belong there. Have you seen that, Pat?
No, I was going to go ahead and Google it right now. I mean, that's really, really weird. I'm freaking out right now. So that was NASA strange craft. Wow.
Yeah. What's weird about it is, you know, when people post video or photographs from the International Space Station or satellites or whatever, you always see these tiny little things flying through the air, and people call them UFOs or whatever. But this isn't like that. This is something that's physically attached to the space station. So it's not like it could really be misconstrued as anything. Now, I personally haven't done a lot of research or spent a lot of time looking at the structure of the International Space Station, but it looks out of place, and people are talking about it, and it's really kind of circulating out there on the net.
So, Jason, just to kind of follow that story, so the NASA Space Station, so it was docked here and ready to take off into outer space.
Well, the International Space Station is orbiting the Earth, and there is this strange.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's you know, one of the cameras, one of the live feeds that kind of shows the exterior of the space station, shows this weird craft at one of the docking points on the space station.
Okay, I got you. I see it now. I just Googled it. You know, that is weird. It looks very ghostly.
Yeah, doesn't it look out of place?
Yes, it does. Yeah, so if anybody has any comments on that, I guess it could be a shadow, Jason, or, you know, not knowing enough about how things reflect light and all of that out in outer space. Who knows? But it doesn't even look like it could be part of a reflection of the space station. So, yeah, if anybody has any comments, give us a call at 215-383-3999. Or if you're in the chat room, you can make a comment on it as well.
Yeah, so it's just weird. Yeah, it doesn't look like a reflection. I mean, it looks like, to me, it looks like, you know, an actual physical object.
It sure does, yeah.
Crazy. The second story that I wanted to briefly talk about, and this one's been circulated a lot more than the International Space Station story, is this Hell House in Gary, Indiana. Did you hear about that one, Pat?
I did a little bit, yeah.
Well, this family moved into this house in 2011, and they begin to hear, you know, your standard run-of-the-mill stuff, like, you know, strange walking around the house, opening and closing of doors. And they also eventually claimed that the adult and three children were all possessed. Because they were hearing voices and being physically thrown about. Well, what kind of sets this story apart from a lot of other stories out there is the state and law enforcement and various agencies were kind of involved in this situation because I believe they were concerned with some kind of abuse and stuff. But at one point, a nurse and a psychiatrist observed one of the children walk backwards up a wall.
that's kind of the part that I heard about. Walk backwards up a wall?
How do you do that?
You don't. You don't do that. Although we know, I have heard some other, stories of possessions where, some really strange things have happened. So I can't say that couldn't happen, but I don't know. What's been the outcome of these children? Were they taken out of the home?
Well, from what I understand and from what I read is exorcisms were performed and they're now fine. But what is also interesting is that the police investigated it and they took pictures of the house, which showed some apparitions, some shadow figures, and there was even some video taken in the basement that reputedly, I don't even know if I can say that correctly, what's that?
You said it right.
Okay, my mouth isn't working correctly. I think I just had a stroke. No, reported that there were some EVPs on some video they had taken in the basement, but interestingly enough, also the house was purchased by Zach Baggins from Ghost Hunters. At least that's, or not Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures. At least that's what's being reported. Why would you want to own a house like that? But I know he's really into that, so.
Yeah, possibly, so a TV show coming or something like that. But now, did it say in the article, Jason, with the exorcisms that were done, and I'm assuming that was done by the Catholic Church, did they believe that there was, demons or, a possession happening?
From what I understand and from what kind of the article led me to believe is that pretty much everyone thinks that there's something demonic or ghostly happening in that house. There wasn't really people with a bunch of skepticism because of what legitimate, people had witnessed, like the child walking on the wall in the pictures. So it sounded like a lot of people were really sold on the fact that there's something very, very paranormal going on at that location.
And just to talk about that a little bit more, because I had the privilege of interviewing a Catholic archbishop who we're looking to have on our show in the future as well, but in our prior show, or a different show, I should say, an archbishop from the Catholic Church who heads up the exorcist department, and he had some really interesting information about people who are possessed. And, it was very factual because that, that's going to be how the Catholics religion is, and he definitely believed that they're evil that could, congregate, if you will, in a location and definitely attach themselves to people, and very, very strange things would happen. And when they were called in to do an exorcism, he came in with a team of, himself, some other priests, maybe some nuns, maybe even a psychic, and, to really assess the situation. And, they had certain things that they would do, with rosaries and holy water. And just in some cases they had a very difficult time you know, getting rid of the demons, if you will, and at other times they could make them leave right away. But sometimes, he explained, the demons will also follow people. They'll go where the people go, mm-hmm. not the location. So I believe it. I believe that it can happen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more of a skeptic on the whole thing. I've talked to the Archbishop a couple times as well, who is, and we can say his name, it's Archbishop Ron Fail. But he has had some pretty unique experiences in performing exorcisms. In fact, one that even almost cost him his life. It, you know, put him in the hospital, some freak kind of, and I don't remember what exactly it was, but it was serious, and mm-hmm. it wasn't like, you know, a heart attack. It was something, I can't remember, some internal hemorrhaging or something like that, because he was punched so hard by a ghostly apparition or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But he swears up and down that those things, you know, happen. But like,
well, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just more of a skeptic. You know me. Maybe people can be haunted, not just locations, but I often wonder if a lot of these experiences that people have are actually generated from themselves, like maybe kind of creating the experiences on some sort of subconscious level, maybe with psychokinesis.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be reaching out there a little far, but that's just what I wonder about.
Well, no, and I think all that's valid, and everything has to be, kind of be approached in that manner. So, yeah. So, I've been hearing about that story as well. So, again, if anybody has any comments on that, be sure to, you know, give us a call at 215-383-3999. You're listening to Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir, where we broadcast every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also listen to a on-demand episode anytime by going to blogtalkradio.com. So, Jason, what other interesting stories have you been reading about?
Those were pretty much the only two. Those are like two of the most popular out there. But as you know, in the paranormal world, you could spend all day trying to cover all the reported stories going out there. But we do have this mysterious caller in queue that I'd like to see who it is, if it's actually Facebook.
Let's see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Who's the guy that started Facebook? What's his name? Not Sergey Brin. I'm drawing a blank.
Gosh. I know. Is it Mark somebody? We should know this.
Yeah, I should know. Zucker. Yeah, maybe it's the Zucker Facebook guy. So well, let's see who it is.
Okay.
Hello, Facebook. You are live on Paranormal Horizons.
Hello, Aaron.
It's Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing? Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Oh, no, Jason, are you not watching chat? I've been saying, it's me. It's me and Q. It's me.
Oh, I have to watch the studio, and it gets too distracting.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, well, you know, I've been listening to you guys, and that story in Gary, Indiana, that's an intense story. I didn't know about the kid that walked up the wall backwards, and incidentally that he's 9 years old. And so that was kind of crazy to see.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Well, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just, you know, when I hear stories like that, it reminds me of the movie The Ring, where Samara, you know, comes out of the TV, or you have the movie The Grudge, where, like, they're crawling on the ceiling. I mean, if I had seen that, I would go completely bonkers.
Well, I would scream like a little girl.
Yeah, you know, really interesting stuff. Now, Aaron, just so everybody out there in the audience knows, when I was talking earlier about our live investigation of the Edgefield, Aaron was also, you know, part of the paranormal team and leading up the investigation, and he's also on our radio show. So, Aaron, we're looking forward to talking with you in the future once you've had a chance to review all of your, you know, recordings and filming and all of that.
I would love to. I've had some technical difficulties, so it was a little bit difficult. It was a little difficult to finish it, but I work on that.
Yeah. Now, you spent the night in room 215, which is the most haunted room in the hotel. And I just, did anything happen just to kind of share a little bit, or did you sleep the night solidly with no interruptions, or were you nervous, or what happened?
Well, you know, excuse me, once everyone left, the last man standing besides myself was Steve, who we went down to the front desk to interview a lady by the name of Susan, who's my auditor. And after listening to her terrifying stories, I looked through the ghost log book, and of course I was fixated on all the stories that guests had in particular encounters in room 215. So I'm reading all these scary stories, and finally I had to close the book, and I thought, what am I doing? I'm getting ready to go up there by myself. I need to stop reading this. And so, needless to say, I got up to the room, I took a deep breath, and then I walked in and kind of went from there. But, you know, it was, I did not experience anything that I felt was paranormal during the night. I did have a hard time going to sleep naturally, but I did sleep like a baby, and I didn't catch anything on audio. I listened to audio that I left running during the night, and video, there's certain things, but I'm not going to get into that now. I want to finish. I have another 4 hours to go, and then once I do, I'll be more than happy to come back and we can chat about it. But I was nervous, I'm not going to lie, you know, just with all the stories. I did hear, now Jason, you had mentioned while we were at the Edgefield that you had a bad feeling about the room next door, 214. Is that correct?
Yeah, I kind of sensitive that thing, and I didn't feel anything in 215, but just looking at the door to the room next door, 214, I just was getting that kind of creepy vibe, you know.
Well, that's weird that you said that, because you and I think Elise, who's our psychic on the team, had also mentioned something about 214 next door. While I was trying to go to sleep, I could hear noises coming from next door, and when I was checking out the next day, I asked them, was anyone in room 214 last night, and they said no. So I thought, oh, maybe we should have been in there. Maybe we should have been in the other room.
Well, you know, I do have that sense. I can sense those things. Remember when you moved into that house and you posted a picture? What did I write to you?
You know what? We moved into this big, beautiful home, and on my personal Facebook page, I posted some pictures. We were excited, and the first thing that Jason said was, I get a bad feeling about that house. And he was right. He was right. It was horribly haunted, and there was a lot of events that would take an hour just in itself to talk about all the things that happened in the house. And it not so much happened so much to me, but my kids and my wife, and a couple of others that have been in the house. And, oh, yeah, we actually performed an exorcism in the house. And I had a pastor come, and actually two pastors. And it was an intense night. So a lot of things that happened. But you were right on, just by a picture. That blew me away.
Yeah, I told you. I wrote down. I said, "I hope you like ghosts." And it's not—it's not an old house. I mean, it's not this creepy-looking house. It's just an average-looking house, and I just sensed it immediately.
Yeah. It was. It definitely wasn't that old. It was from '62, I believe. But I don't know about the land itself that it was built on. So, But yeah, it was crazy. The fact that you picked it up over a picture, and then you came over, and I know you couldn't wait to leave. And plus, we had some friends who's a shaman and came over along with you, and they had a really difficult time there at the house. So anyway, I'm thankful that we're out of there. We're no longer in the home.
Well, I know I don't know how much you wanted to bring up that house, but didn't you, I recall you saying something, you were leaving one morning after the exorcism and you saw some red eyes or something outside?
Yes, I wasn't the only one. I saw in my pickup truck, actually. I walked out to the driveway. At that time, I left at, I think it was 3:30 in the morning to go to work, and there were these glowing red eyes piercing, looking back at me as I'm walking to the truck, and then it was gone. It scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. I mean, the last thing you expect at 3:30 in the morning, coming out to your vehicle. And others in the house had seen shadow figures, which is odd because the shadow figures that they saw was outside. And just beyond the bushes, and see this just big, dark, black mass move across the window from the outside. And then countless times we sat in the gazebo, which was directly across from our door that led to the kitchen, and we could, with no one else in the house, we could see movement behind that door. It was kind of a glass type of door with, it's hard to explain. It's not really painted. I can't really explain the type of glass it is, but it's not just plain see-through, so it's shape, it's really pretty, but you could see movement beyond that glass. And then on into the laundry room, which was just beyond that, which had a window. Some of the other things that happened in the house, my wife called me one day. I was at football practice with the kids, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, we need to have this house blessed." And I said, "Why? What's going on?" And she was just terrified. And she said that it was, if you remember, Jason, all hardwood floors on the main floor. And she was in there cooking dinner and was cooking at the middle island stove that we have. And she could hear footsteps walking towards her. But she was the only one home. And even the dog ran to her and stood by her leg just whimpering and wouldn't stop whimpering. And then she would hear this loud metallic door sound slam downstairs. And again, you've been to the house. There were no metallic doors in that house. And it was intense. I mean, she called me another time from... See, you followed me here. Great. She called another time and locked herself in the bathroom. It sounded like somebody had taken, if you picture a whole bunch of pots and pans on your counter, and you just walk along the counter with your arms stretched out, knocking everything over all at one time, that's what it sounded like to her. Again, she was home by herself. The reason why she locked herself in is because she ran out to the kitchen and there was nothing on the floor. There was nobody home. She ran back to the bathroom and shut the door and locked it. So, yeah, it was a crazy time. I mean, there's so many stories that I could tell you about that house. And even the kids were terrified. They'd call us when if we weren't home and "Dad, are you upstairs?" "No, I'm not. I'm at work." And they would hear people running, like running upstairs. It just got to be, in fact, one of our friends, I'm not sure if you met Kurt, let him stay there for a brief time, and he called when we weren't there, and he was terrified because there was so much noise, all the things that I just mentioned to you, all at one time, and it was so intense that he ran out of the house. Now, I told him, I said, "Look, we'll be home in 15 minutes, just chill out, relax, you know, just calm down." We get home, and literally, this man is 32 years old, all tatted up. Great guy. He looks scary, but a great guy. Standing out in the driveway because he's too scared to go back in the house. So it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
I can understand you don't live there anymore.
No, we don't live there anymore.
Yeah. So go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was going to say, you weren't even in that house very long. How long were you there?
We were only there for four months, somewhere around there. Due to circumstances, which is not ghostly, we had decided to vacate the house. And so day was short and sweet. And, I mean, it was, at times for everyone else, terrifying. I mean, I did have some experiences, but not quite as much as the others. So. But yeah, I think it was you. Didn't you say we should do an investigation? And really, I think we should have set up cameras. I think I would have been terrified, most likely, to go back and sleep in the house, probably after reviewing video of what was going on when we weren't home. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The feeling I got when I went in the house was I couldn't stay there. Are you on speakerphone? Because there's a ton of static coming out.
No, I'm not actually.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I'm on a mic. Let's see. I can turn.
So, Aaron, this
yes.
is Pat Rice, and again, thank you for calling in to Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com. But I understand that you are going to have a radio show as well. And is that starting tomorrow night? Give us the details on that.
Yes, Pat. Well, thanks for mentioning that. Yes, Elise Wells, who's our psychic on our team, she and I are doing co-hosting a show called Paranormal Crossings on Blog Talk Radio. And it's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So every Wednesday night at 8. Tomorrow night will be 8 to 9:30. So we're going to do it.
Okay.
Yes. And I would love to have you help out and Jason help out and call in and help co-host and all that good stuff. So I would be very grateful and humble if you were to do that for us sometime.
Well, now what's your format? I mean, are you going to have a guest or is it just kind of chit-chatting and what's going to be going on?
You know, mainly the format's going to be the two of us talking, but then I'm really going to rely on people calling in, so I'd love listeners to call in about experience. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the things that I was just talking about, maybe a place of residence or business or something that someone encountered, and they can speak of their experiences in those locations. Or I'd like to have a demonologist on. And, so definitely we'll end up probably after about a month or so start inviting guests. I do have a list of people that have contacted me already and some that are out of this country that would like to appear as guests. And so I'm working on the guest list as we speak. It'll be exciting.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, that's going to be a great show. Paranormal Crossings from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Time. With Aaron Collins and Elise. Everybody be sure to check that out because I know, Aaron, it's going to be a great show, and I will definitely try to call in. I don't think I have anything going on tomorrow night. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Well, I'd love to talk to you again. And again, thanks for letting me call in today. And unless you have any questions for me, then I will bow out and gracefully listen on the other end.
All right. Sounds great.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Talk to you later, Jason. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right.
Bye. All right, Jason. That was our first sort of Facebook caller. I'm not quite sure what the technology was on that. It was a little, it wasn't crisp sounding, but But, hey, we've kind of been jumping around on topics here, Jason, and I loved hearing about Aaron's story about the real haunted house that he lived in, and obviously more to hear about on that on his own show. But I kind of wanted to switch gears and talk about some cryptology stuff, like Bigfoot. You know, that's my
favorite.
Oh,
yeah. We need to get a guest on that. I know that.
Well, yeah. And, well, you know, we did have a guest on one of our first shows, which was Larry Freeland, and he made a movie about Bigfoot. And if anybody's interested in getting that, you can go to indiegogo.com. But, you know, that was sort of a make-believe story that took place in the 1800s about Bigfoot. But what that says to me is, you know, I mean, Bigfoot has been coming around all the time. I mean, way back from, you know, the early 1800s, you know, Daniel Boone in his memoirs, he claims that he thought he was killing a bear, but then when he found it, it was a man-like creature is the way that he described it. So now we call that a Bigfoot, but that was in Tennessee, and that forest is now called the Daniel Boone Forest. And there's a couple of great guys that they often go into that forest and they look for Bigfoot, and they have some great experiences about that. But there was a recent story that came up that a woman in Arizona claims that she found a toenail of Bigfoot.
I'm just wondering how you know it's a toenail.
Well, I know, and it didn't give a lot of details about that, because that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, was it a big gigantic toenail? Yeah, thank you. It was a really short article that you can Google it and find, but somehow it was taken to someone who did some DNA, and they found that it was a female. It was female DNA, and then the other part of the DNA, they didn't know what it was, so they sort of chalked it up to being a Bigfoot. But, you know, that's hearsay. But that's kind of my Bigfoot story for the evening. But I am kind of fascinated by Bigfoot.
How do they know just some lady wasn't randomly clicking or clipping her toenails out in the woods? Did they sequence it to not being human, or?
They didn't have that much detail in the article, but there were some other comments on the article that said the woman was a Looney Tune. that she was a crazy woman. So I do have to add that, you know, caveat to the story, but I just thought I'd mention that and it was in Arizona. Now, a toenail, allegedly, I'm going to use the word allegedly, belonging to the legendary hominid, that's what they call Bigfoot, is being proof of some of his existence. But, again, it's just hearsay. But, you know, let's move on from there. Jason, I did want to mention that. Now, this isn't Bigfoot, but everybody knows about the Loch Ness Monster, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of upsetting, I think. But there has been no Loch Ness Monster sightings in 2013.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. And now, you know, we're in 2014, and I don't know if they've had any in 2014 yet, but, you know, throughout the year, there's been absolutely, you know, no sightings, and, you know, thousands of tourists flock to the Scottish Highlands to hopefully see Loch Ness. I was one of them at one time, you know, one time when I took a trip to Scotland, I did not see the Loch Ness Monster, although I did go to the lake, and it was still worth it, because it's very beautiful there. So, and, you know, so much history, but, you know, it's very upsetting. This is a quote from one of the locals. It's very upsetting news, and we don't know where she's gone. So they refer to Loch Ness as a female. I don't know why. But the number of sightings has been reducing since the turn of the century. But this is the first time in almost 90 years that Nessie has not been seen at all. So maybe Nessie died.
Wait, so yeah, I was going to say, are you trying to tell me that Nessie could be dead?
I am. I am telling you that. And
oh, my God.
I know. So we're going to try to keep...
I'm saddened.
I know. And Yeah, you know, there was always so much controversy about the Loch Ness Monster, like, oh, no, it's just a big hoax, and no, there's absolutely nothing, and then there were so many local sightings and so forth. So, yeah, I feel sad, but, you know, maybe they'll find the skeleton or something, and they will be able to prove that there was, you know, Nessie actually did exist.
Now, isn't that lake, that lake is like, I could be wrong, but isn't it like super deep? I mean, like thousands of feet deep?
It is deep, yes. And I don't have the exact deepness, but it is very deep. You know, kind of like Lake Tahoe. You know, Lake Tahoe is a very deep lake. So, you know, who's to say that Nessie wasn't some prehistoric creature that lived a long, 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 long time, where she was, you know, a remnant of a prehistoric creature that was just gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. But anyway,
I'm such a Google nerd that I just had to Google how deep it is, and
yeah,
that lake is 788 feet deep, with a length of 23 miles. So that's a lot of space for a Nessie body to be hiding.
Yeah, yeah, that is. So, you know, the body could sink to the bottom, or who knows, maybe it will rise to the top. But yeah, anyway, just kind of a little tidbit there on Nessie. But I want to jump back to Bigfoot a little bit here. So I did want to let everyone know that there it was a new Bigfoot reality TV series that launched.
Oh, Lord.
And it started, yeah, I know. I knew you would love this, Jason. It started on January 12th. Thank you. The new show, $10 million Bigfoot Bounty. $10 million.
Bigfoot's already been shot. He's touring in San Antonio right now by the man that will not be named, has the body.
Well, so let me read you kind of the little blurb here. Animal Planet's Finding Bigfoot debuted on Friday night, January 12th. No, excuse me, Sunday, January 12th, and offers an impressive cash prize of $10 million to anyone who can produce conclusive evidence that the elusive hairy creature is lurking the wilds of North America. Hosted by actor Dean Cain, the series features the efforts of nine teams. That's nine teams. So this is a reality show. So nine teams of two, they attempt to find either visual or DNA evidence that can prove Bigfoot's existence. Two scientific experts, including primatologist Dr. Todd Dussatel, will be offering their opinions and advice during the series. Now, I haven't watched it, but I'm going to try to catch it. It sounds crazy to me. I'm trying to find what channel it's on, and it's I'm not finding that right away, but so you got to picture this, Jason. It's a reality show. So there's these teams, like you and I could have been a team, and we
well,
could have been in this forest looking for proof that, you know, Bigfoot existed. So you can only imagine some of the things that will happen. You know, people are camping out there, you know, they're having to do all these things, and I'm sorry, it doesn't sound like a very good environment where you're going to find Bigfoot. So you're talking about 20 people out there making noise and probably doing some stupid things. Bigfoot's not going to show up. You know, Bigfoot doesn't like people. Right. You know.
See that?
So...
Hey. I know Bigfoot people are a little bit quirky, and for the record, I've stated this in the past, I am an absolute non-Bigfoot believer.
I know you are.
you know, that's going to make for great television, because I know how quirky Bigfoot people are. You're going to have fights. It's going to be crazy. But now, you mentioned earlier that they will accept conclusive visual evidence. Is that correct?
Yes, DNA.
Well, I'm going to go get a gorilla suit and head down there. And because $10 million sounds awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to find the details of where the forest is. But, you know, let me jump here really quick. So we'll have to follow that story because I think it could be fun to follow. But also, did you see the Oregon story of where the someone filmed this sort of strange creature in the Oregon woods?
No. What was that?
Well, it doesn't tell us where exactly it was, other than it says the Oregon woods. And it's on YouTube and all this stuff, and you can kind of see this creature. And I'm going to say that, never having seen a Bigfoot, it kind of looks like a Bigfoot, but I'm thinking it's sort of staged. They've got this creature sort of sitting by the river with very long arms and a big body, and he's sort of like playing around in the brush. and there's no particular sounds, and then all of a sudden it switches to a bicyclist coming down the path, like a path that would go in front of the creature. And then the next thing is they show where the creature was, and he's gone. But they never show him leaving. So I think it was very staged and fake. And but it is, it's called Strange Creature in the Forest of Oregon, USA. It's very recent. This is not old. Well, December 29th it was posted. And he's rummaging around. But, again, I think somebody is trying to play, you know, kind of a Bigfoot joke here.
Yeah, it's too bad they just say the woods in Oregon, because that's like saying a reef in the ocean. It's all woods here.
I know. Exactly. You know, it could be, you know, kind of where I live here in Oregon City. They could have done it down by the river, you know, in the park. And but I'm just kind of throwing that out there because there's so many, with paranormal, you know, ghosts and Bigfoot, aliens, you know, cryptozoology, all of that. There's so many stories out there, and it's great that you're a skeptic because, you know, are they true? Are they not? You know, even with the exorcism that we talked about earlier today, you know, I do believe in a certain amount of these things that do happen, you know, Loch Ness Monster, but I think there's a lot of kind of hokey stuff out there as well.
I'll be honest with you, Pat. I've kind of lost heart with the paranormal community because of all the fakery. I've talked about it before. It's just, it's outrageous. It's impossible to know what's real and what's not. And I would say that, you know, 95% of the stuff circulating online is outright fakery, or it's just people misconstruing, you know, something that has a logical explanation. I mean, you know that I know that there's strange things. I mean, I've talked about my weird stuff before, so I know that stuff's out there, but you can't, I mean, trying to find out what's legitimate and what's not is like trying to find, you know, a needle in a haystack, or trying to find a Wookiee in the forest.
I know. But I think, you know, that's what we are after. You know, you and I on this show, I think that we both have a pretty good perspective of, okay, wait a minute, you know, okay, give us the story, you know, let us know what happened. And then let the audience decide if they believe it or not. It's not just our opinion. You know, it's what they think about, and we're going to have some more stuff like that, you know, in the future, you know, hauntings and things like that. So, That's what it's all about with anything. It's like, what do you think about it? It's not just what we think about it.
Yeah, it's disheartening. And yeah, like you're right. I mean, that is the purpose of the show, to get guests and expert speakers on their respective fields and people that have had strange experiences. And I want to add, and maybe this is a good time to add that, if somebody wants to be a guest on the show, if they've had some experiences you want to talk about, you can just send myself an email. And my email is shadowjason, one word, at frontier.com, shadowjason@frontier.com. And, you know, we can get you scheduled on the show. We had Chad and Alta talking about their UFO-related experiences, and they contacted me via email. So I'd like to see more of that.
Absolutely, Jason. And, yeah, and let's just leave your email as the contact for that. Because we want to hear about it. And, you know, whether it's alien or ghost or possession or, you know, a mystery, you know, of something weird that happened, or, you know, maybe you heard voices or anything like that. You know, we definitely, you know, want to talk to you and hear more about it, because there's so many unexplained things that happen in this world. And I even have some of my own experiences, Jason, that we've never talked about. And that will be another show. So,
yeah, how come we haven't talked about your experiences?
Well, we just haven't yet because it's going to be another show. But
okay.
We will definitely, yeah, we'll talk about that. And yeah, so, yeah, Jason, it's just been great to kind of talk tonight, and thank you, everybody, for endearing us to kind of jump around on subjects, as we love to do, you know, Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and all of that, and I really enjoyed talking to Aaron tonight, and then we're going to be talking with him again about the actual findings of the paranormal investigation at the Edgefield Hotel. Oh, and Jay, I just wanted to mention for everybody that's local in Oregon, or even if you're not in Oregon, but you would like to come to Oregon because it's such a wonderful place to visit, there's going to be a ghost conference. I believe it's the third annual, and it's April 11th through 13th, and it's in Oregon City. It's a wonderful opportunity to, if you want to have a table and share what you do, there's going to be speakers and, you know, things like that. It's, and again, it's in Oregon City. Just do a Google search for Ghost Conference. Jason and I will be there hanging out, and, you know, some of our other paranormal friends. It's a really fun event. So check that out if you'd like to come to that. And, yeah, meet other like-minded people.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. And the last time we were at a ghost conference, we got to talk to the fellows from the TV show Ghost Mine.
I know. And, wow, what a second episode they had. Those are some guys that I'd like to try to get on the show. They had some extraordinary things happen to them. Jason, on that show, I don't know if you were able to follow it for the season, but there was some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I don't have cable TV. I'm stuck in the rabbit ears age. So unless it's been posted to YouTube, I can't watch it.
Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with not having, you know, a million channels. But, yeah, we met some really great people. We were able to interview Patrick from Ghost Mine Miners and meet some other great people. So, yeah, be sure to check that out if you're interested. And, yeah, Jason, so we'll be on line again next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time.
Yep, and
show.
I don't I don't have a guest name to throw out right now, but I will get a guest for Tuesday. And for, you know, with this whole school thing, I've been really lazy. It's not that I can't get guests or don't have them online. I have a ton of people that I can get, but I make sure that for our next show we will have a guest, and I'm gonna try and get a Bigfoot person for next week. What do you think of that?
I would like that. That would be great. And I don't think you should say that you're lazy. I think you should say that you've been busy and preoccupied. So,
busy.
This is something that, you know, we do because we like to talk about these subjects. We all have full-time jobs and, you know, other things. So, yeah, let's get a Bigfoot person. Yahooey. I like that.
Cool. So, yeah, I guess we're kind of running out of time here. I did want to mention one more time to check out Paranormal Crossings with Aaron Collins and Elise Wells tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And also come catch us again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Like I said, the guest will be announced. And we do appreciate everybody that came to listen to the show live tonight. And I think that's about it.
That's right. And don't forget, you can listen to the entire episode and all the others on-demand episodes on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Pat Rice. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great week. Take care of each other. And take care of your four-legged critters and all your scary critters as well. I'll talk to you next week.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.